Stories of Great Christians. From its radio studios in Chicago, the Moody Bible Institute greets its friends everywhere with Chapter 5 of A Gambler Becomes a Preacher, the transcribed story of Anton J. Gillies.
In a sense, Anton Gillies had become something of a prodigal son. He had left his small native village in Lithuania to go to the capital of all the Russias, St. Petersburg, better known to us today as Leningrad. He had at least three reasons for leaving. First of all, he wanted to make his fortune, since money was not readily obtainable in his homeland. Also, he wanted to avoid further disagreement with his brother, who had inherited the family farm after his father's death. And finally, he no longer wished to continue his studies for the seminary and the career which his mother had planned for him.
Now what's all the disturbance?
I do not know, sir. I only arrived in St. Petersburg this morning.
It's such a commotion. What about you, Gospodin? Do you know the reason for this demonstration?
Me? Of course. It was in today's paper. These workers are marching in protest.
Protest? Against what?
It was in the papers. Tsar Nicholas has dismissed his prime minister.
Prime Minister David?
The same. The best prime minister Russia has ever had.
But he is German.
Perhaps, but he was a good man. He knew how to govern the country. He was a friend of the workers, and they knew it. That's why they're protesting.
But does the government allow such protests?
Up to now, this is the first demonstration we've had. Who knows how it will end?
But why was the prime minister dismissed?
Well, there's some talk that the Tsarina is greatly influenced by the Russian monk called Rasputin. I've heard that he told the Tsarina to force Nicholas into this decision.
Terrible, terrible.
Did you say that you were a new arrival to St. Petersburg?
Why, yes, sir.
You're a Lithuanian, too, aren't you?
How could you tell?
One Lithuanian can't tell another.
You are one, too?
But of course. Would you excuse us, sir? I'd like to treat my fellow countrymen to some refreshment. Or would you join us?
No, thank you. I have other matters.
Yes, things are becoming more difficult in Russia.
How so?
Have you ever heard of a man called Bukharin?
Bukharin? No, sir.
Well, he's a radical socialist and very strong. He's been agitating for some time among the workers. Actually, there have been many abuses. Long hours, poor pay, no opportunity to change jobs.
But the workers seem so prosperous. I've seen them walking along the street in such fine clothes.
Every night you must watch them walk along the Novi Prospect. You've never seen anything like it. Oh, they make a fair amount of money, but their hours are long. As long as DeWitt was in power, things were good. But he's been prime minister for only 3 years. Now, who knows what will happen? You'll hear more of this Bukharin, and some of the others, too. Men like Lenin, Kerensky.
I came here to find work.
You grew tired of the old country. Yes, so did I. What can you do?
I can do farm work.
Well, there are no farms here in Petrograd. What education have you had?
Primary school. And for a while I studied with our parish priest.
You were going to be a priest?
My mother wanted me to become one.
I see. You were good in arithmetic?
Oh, yes, sir.
Perhaps I can help you out. Do you know what a kiosk is?
Of course. A place where newspapers are sold.
Well, much more than that. Newspapers and magazines, candy, tobacco, notions, lottery tickets. There's a good profit in it.
Do you think I could do such work?
It's worth a try. I own a kiosk myself. I could give you a start, and then you could get your own. In time, of course.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Well, then, too, strangely enough, there's a great need in this city for bill collectors. Many items are sold on credit. Men are needed to collect on the bills. You're paid on a percentage basis. Makes a good sideline. Very profitable.
Well, when can I begin, sir?
Well, first we must find a place for you to stay. You can begin with me tomorrow if you like. By the way, since you are studying to be a priest, perhaps you'd like to know that we have a Lithuanian parish in St. Petersburg.
I have lost much of my interest in the church.
Yes, I guess I have, too. The church involves itself in things that don't concern it. Like this Rasputin, for instance. Of course, he's an Orthodox monk, but still he's giving us all much trouble.
Well, right now, I'm concerned only with making some money.
Good enough. You'll begin tomorrow. Well, Anton, you've progressed very well. How long have you been working for me?
Let's see. It's over 2 years now, sir.
Ah, you've been a good worker. Has it been worth it?
I've been able to save a good sum of money. And I have more clothes than I ever owned before.
Yes, and you have some good experience in business methods. What do you plan to do now? Start out on your own?
Would you mind very much?
Of course not. You've helped me, and I've helped you. I expected that in time you'd want to go out on your own. There's business enough for all of us.
I'm glad you feel that way about it. I'd like to buy a kiosk of my own. But first, I want to go back to Lithuania and see my people.
Homesick?
A little. My mother's getting up in years, and I'd like to see her again. It's been more than 2 years since I've been away.
And then you'll return?
Oh, of course. I like St. Petersburg, and I like the business.
Son, it's so good to see you. For a while, I didn't know if you would ever return.
Oh, Mother, you should have known better than that. Of course I'd come back.
You're so much bigger than when you left, and that mustache you're wearing, is that the style in the capital?
Well, perhaps it is.
You're 20 now, aren't you?
That's right, Mother.
Michael be surprised to see you. Why didn't you write when you were coming?
I thought it would be a surprise.
I like these kind of surprises.
Where is he? Is Michael all right?
He had to go to the forest to get a load of wood. He should be back soon.
Well, how is he these days?
He's going to get married.
No.
She's a very fine girl. You should be thinking about a wife, too.
Oh, I've time enough for that, Mother.
I'm back, Mother. Anton, when did you get in?
Well, just a few minutes ago. I got a ride from the station.
Well, you should have let us know. I could have brought you in.
Oh, it's all right. I had no trouble. But here, I have some presents for you. Now, here's a shawl for you, Mother.
What beautiful wool. It will be very useful on cold days.
And here are two white shirts for you, Michael. This is real cotton.
Oh, thank you.
And the tie. Mother tells me you're going to be married. Congratulations.
Thanks, Anton.
Maybe you can wear the shirt at your wedding. I have more things here, but they'll have to wait until I see the rest of the family. How are the girls, by the way?
Fine. I'm a grandmother now, twice over.
Well, what's this, Anton?
A newspaper. I brought it from St. Petersburg.
Why, it's so huge. You sold papers and things in the capital, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Anton, what's all this about war?
Oh, there's a lot of talk about trouble with Japan.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we never hear anything in this little town.
Oh, what about the markets and the county seat?
Well, we're so interested in selling what we have and getting back home again that there's no time to discuss news.
Now, what is all this news about war now? talk about something pleasant.
Well, it is important, Mother.
Well, you talk about what you like. I'm going to make some supper for you. How would you like some potato cake?
Oh, say, I haven't had any since I left home.
Good. And we'll have lots of sour cream with it. You boys just take it easy.
Anton, if there is a war, I wonder how it would affect us.
Probably wouldn't bother any of us here. We're considered to be mere provinces, nothing else.
I don't know. Look at this.
What's that?
A story about conscription.
Let me see.
Hmm?
Strange. I thought I read the entire paper. I didn't see that news item.
Plans are being made to conscript all youths 18 years and older to serve for 24 months in the Imperial Forces. All physically fit youths will serve, regardless of national origin.
That includes us.
Yeah. Hey, listen to this. This will affect youths between 18 and 26 years of age. The age limit to be raised as deemed necessary by the Emperor.
Can't understand how I overlooked that item.
Oh, it's a very small one.
But it's important. Why, both of us may have to serve in the army.
To fight Russia's war in Japan? Who wants that? I'm not afraid to fight, but I'd much rather do it for my own people.
Well, Michael, perhaps you could be deferred, that is, when you're married.
Yeah? Do you think so?
It's worth finding out about.
What about you?
I don't know. This may change all of my plans, too.
And so we conclude Chapter 5 of A Gambler Becomes a Preacher, the transcribed story of Anton J. Gillies. We are presenting another in a series of Stories of Great Christians, which come to you from the radio studios of the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago.